After 4 months and $1 million, the trial of former high school teacher and mayor Jim Keegstra ended with a guilty verdict handed down on the Jewish Sabbath. Mr. Keegstra was convicted of spreading hatred against Jews while he taught social studies students his theories about Judaism, the Holocaust, and an international Jewish conspiracy to control the world. The trial, conducted in Alberta, received spectacular press coverage and saw former high school students of Mr. Keegstra's read from their notes taken during the classes. Mr. Keegstra taught that Judaism was a false and evil religion, that the Holocaust was an invention or a myth, and that some Jews were orchestrating an international conspiracy aimed at taking over the world. The trial of Jim Keegstra raised many issues involving free speech, the right to disseminate one's personal views, and the right of people to have that opportunity to do so anywhere at any time, to spread their views no matter how distasteful and abhorrent those views are. This morning on the hotline, we're going to explore some of these issues involved with the Jim Keegstra trial and the laws against hate literature here in Canada. Now, coming up in just a couple of moments, we'll go to the live line and speak with Jim Keegstra and find out if he believes he's guilty of anti-Semitism and what he intends to do now that the trial is over.
But first, there are a number of questions we would like to pose to you this morning. First of all, do you think that Jim Keegstra is, as he has been labeled, a hate monger? Or do you feel that he should have the right to say what he obviously believes to be true? 433-3121 is our number. If you're calling from out of town, remember, you're welcome to call collect. Should Mr. Keegstra have the right to teach those beliefs to students in a classroom? And how would you feel if your children were being taught by someone like Jim Keegstra? Are you offended by Mr. Keegstra's views, those that you have no doubt read about in the newspapers or heard on radio and television? How do you feel about his views? Do you agree or disagree with him? Our number is 433-3121. And finally, do you feel that justice has been served in the trial of Jim Keegstra, found guilty of willfully promoting hatred? 433-3121 is our number, and our lines are open now to take your call. Bob, you're on the air.
Oh, good morning, Ann.
Good morning.
Well, Wayne and Ann and Jim, I've been listening to the calls this morning, and it seems to me that the people that seem most upset with Mr. Keegstra are in a way affected by the exact same belief on which Mr. Keegstra seems to draw his conclusions. I think the thing these people have in common is that they believe that things like, quote, identifiable groups actually exist. They seem to all accept this collectivist philosophy that people are just some part of some big collective entity and not really individuals. And it seems to me that the people who are most upset by Mr. Keegstra are those who share his same collectivist outlook on life.
You know, could you tell us what you mean by collectivist, Bob, so everybody understands?
Well, the fact that we can sit here and talk about people as Jews or as Catholics or as women or men or blacks or any group like that has already taken the individual and stepped him one step below his true identity. You were talking about the problem with identifiable groups and who is identifiable. I mean, that's where the whole problem starts. And a lot of people today are really upset about what happened in World War II and the results of the war, and then they sit and they argue about numbers. Don't they know what made World War II possible? The right to disagree was taken away from people in Germany, and that is what's happening here. And the people that are calling up Mr. Keegstra and telling him that he should be teaching, quote, the right way, are asking a man to defy his own beliefs, his own convictions, his own values. Now, if you knew a man that went around defying his own beliefs, values, and convictions, you'd call him a hypocrite. But here we are asking Mr. Keegstra to be a hypocrite, and I think that's hypocritical.
But, Bob, the thing that gets to me, and Mr. Keegstra, I certainly want you to comment on this, if you would, please, that in a classroom, you do have a group of people who are impressionable, and I know that that can be said of any other teacher in any other course, but I get the feeling And correct me if I'm wrong, Jim Keekstra, but I get the feeling that the way Mr. Keekstra presented this material was done in such a fashion that anything that differed with his outlook and his view of the facts of history, any source material or any scholarly work was downplayed and poo-pooed by Mr. Keekstra as being untrue or part of the conspiracy. And I just wonder if that's the role of a teacher to present facts in that way, or is a teacher supposed to present two or three different views in an objective style?
Well, I presented two or three different views in an objective style. You see, you say I poo-pooed some of the scholarly works. What you have to remember is that our instructions were that we were to critically analyze these works.
Mm-hmm.
And if you critically analyze them, that's what you have to do then, is to show where they made errors in judgment, made errors in taking the proper inference from the facts they presented. Also, you have to point out that they deliberately ignored some important facts and all these types of things. So this is all part of the critical analysis of any type of historical work or anything of that nature.
If I may add to that, I know that when I was in high school, I had teachers who were outright communists, who were outright socialists or religious bigots or racists. And no one ever came around suggesting these people be removed from our classroom. Teachers are no different from anyone else. But the thing that's going on here is we're talking about thought control. You see, here's Mr. Keekstra being accused of promoting hate against Jews. There has been no evidence whatever of hate against Jews presented anywhere, or has there even been an attempt to do so. The only hatred that is in evidence here is hatred against Mr. Keekstra by various members of the community, who are the people being given the power to convict the victim of their hatred for being a promoter of the hatred that they feel. Cannot people see how hypocritical this is? That the people who are doing the hating are being given the political power to convict the person they're accusing of rousing their own feelings. I think this is about as low as a country can sink. And what has been done to Zundel and Keekstra in this country represents such a fundamental and critical violation of our individual rights. I don't know if I can call Canada a free country anymore. And what's particularly offensive is that representatives of some of these Jewish defense leagues that have been promoting this trial and rejoicing have come out and said, listen to this quote from the Toronto Star, Mr. Sheffman from the Canadian Jewish Congress. He says, the average Canadian is not snowed in by this sort of material, this propaganda, referring to Mr. Keekstra's beliefs. If that is true, why is he convicting him? Why is he rejoicing in his conviction?
Because you're saying that he's saying there's no impact at all on the population at large.
Obviously not. Otherwise, we'd see evidence of it. But evidence is not in question here. Nobody wants evidence. This isn't a court of law we're in anymore. And now we've got groups like the Catholic Civil Rights Defense League that now favors censorship,
Bob,
again, that wants to demand that criticism of them be factual and rational.
Gotta go, Bob.
Okay.
Sorry, we're coming up to news time, commercials
right.
And news. Thank you for your call this morning.
Mark, you're on the air with Jim Keekstra.
Good morning, Wayne.
Hello.
Wayne, something's always occurred to me. Why is it you're allowed to have Mr. Keekstra on the air, and you're not going to get charged with hate-mongering or hate literature? Like, I mean, you've had the guy state his views fairly clearly. You've had a few callers call up and agree with him.
Mark, that may happen yet. I may be doing next week's show from jail.
Well, you know,
I
kind of doubt it.
But we're talking about an arena here where we can probe and question and disagree, as both of us, Ann and I, have done this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you add that element of comment, I hope so anyway.
Yeah, I'm listening for your justification about how
you back away from any charges being laid against you.
Well, is that what it is? Like, if you just had Mr. Keekstra on and you interviewed him, like what's the criteria? At what point are you allowed to hate monger? You know what I think it is? I'm pretty sure it is that Jim Keekstra is this one guy, and he's a scapegoat for whatever prejudices people want to. A lot of people feel guilty about their sins of the past, and I think they see a guy like this, and he's a representative symbol for them. They can purge themselves through him. You see, the thing is, they can't take you to court, Wayne. You have your company, CFPL, has a lot of money. They have a lot of respect. They have a lot of background.
I know, but Mark, you're talking sheer nonsense now.
No, that's
No, that is true.
Wait.
Because if I allowed a libelous statement to go on the air, then I could be sued along with the radio station. My name would be on the suit.
Yeah,
so
but
don't kid yourself.
See, having Mr. Keekstron is illegal if he gives a handbill, or like Mr. Zendo hands a handbill out. But if he has, if we have him on the radio so 250,000 people can hear him, all of a sudden it's not hate. I don't get it. His audience has just increased by 10,000 times more than what he'd ever have, and yet for some reason now it's not hate litter because it's all in the name of news journalism. And it occurs to me, like when you have feminists on, and they're clearly and avowedly man-haters, or when you have Palestinians on...
Well, I think you might be overstating it and overgeneralizing.
Well, then I'll probably be sued shortly.
Clearly man-haters. Okay, let's get to the issues here, though, Mark. How do you feel about what Mr. Keegstra believes?
Oh, I think I don't agree with any of his philosophy. I mean, I spend a large amount of time documenting and very detailed documentation on people who'd gone through the Holocaust in Poland and how they had suffered in Nazi death camps and stuff like that. So
what do your numbers tell you? Mr. Keegstra says, what was it, Mr. Keegstra, around 300,000?
The Red Cross put it at about 360,000.
Okay, and what do your things tell you, Mark Emery?
You know, it's funny, Wayne, I don't even need to know numbers. All I need to know is that it happened to one person, and that any social system that allows it to happen to one person,
mm-hmm.
it can happen to anybody. And that's a wonderful analogy, because here we have people in Poland, this Second World War, who went to a death camp, and if one person can go to a death camp who's innocent, then it can happen to anybody in that society, and that shows that society's evil and must be changed. Well, here we have a situation where one man can be put in jail for his point of view. And that's very evil, too, because a free society should never permit that. And if it can happen to one person, I'm very concerned that it can happen to anybody.
Yeah,
and I think the analogy between the Jews being hounded and murdered as they were throughout the Second World War, regardless, that was done all over Europe, and the fact that it can happen here twice in the same period of time to two people who hold very unorthodox views leads me to believe that it can happen to any Canadian. And it'll start off with all the little single people who have a little hand press and stuff like that, who have very little money and very little credibility. They're the people that are going to get taken first. And I'm saying CFBL won't be taken to court today or tomorrow, perhaps, but 5 years from now when some interest group is powerful enough to think they can take CFBL on and discredit it enough, they'll be able to intimidate you into not having these kind of programs, or they'll be able to intimidate your ownership into not carrying it, because there are a lot of big lobby groups out there, Wayne, and they all have vested interests in some kind of historical rewrite.
Well, a lot of speculation there, may or may not, tough to know what's going to happen in the future, but listen, you raise an issue that I think a lot of Canadians agree with, and that is the danger of people being tried for disseminating their views. And I say that in a general sense. But I'm wondering what you say about disseminating these kinds of views in a classroom.
Well, you see, this is the problem. The Mr. Keekster, it's not so much that, I agree that we're asking Mr. Keekster to be a hypocrite. If we're going to let him be a teacher, but we want him to compromise his own point of view. I wouldn't ask that. But on the other hand, you see, I object to the fact that we'd have to send our kids to the same school system. I would never let my children be taught by Mr. Keekster. I'd want the choice.
Why not?
Because I don't agree his views are healthy. I don't agree his views are fair, and nor do they represent the kind of balanced, proper historical perspective I'd like.
Mr. Keegstra?
Let's hear from Mr. Keegstra now, sure.
Oh, I was just going to say I disagree with his comments. I think if he would have been in my class, he would have enjoyed it. So I think what they have to do is find out what I really did in my class before it's condemned too wholeheartedly.
Well, no, there's a point, perhaps. But I'd also like to have the choice as a parent about where I send my children.
I agree with you 100%.
And the fact is the government forces us to send our children basically to the same school, especially if you're a low and middle income earner. You don't really have the choice of independent school systems, and I think I should have that choice. Now, it's the government's own fault because they make parents like myself send our children to the same schools, you know, and so what choice do we have? So inevitably, you're going to get teachers who are communists, which I object to, and I've run into teachers who are communists at the University of Western Ontario, avowedly so. I've seen anarchists there, I've seen socialists, and I've met racist teachers in my time, too. And, I mean, there seems to be no protection because I rarely ever hear of a teacher being fired for their points of view, except Mr. Keekstra. Mr. Keekstra must be the first person in the history of the Canadian educational system I've ever heard fired for his point of view. And I just think, Wayne, that powerful lobby groups, and I have no problem saying the organized Jewish lobby, because they are very powerful, and I've debated them before, and I've interviewed them, and I see that they seem to command the attention of the Canadian media and the Canadian political establishment more than any other lobby group, although other lobby groups are just as bad: organized feminism, organized labor, organized anti-Americanism.
So who do you like? I mean, who out there meets with your approval?
Well, see, Wayne, the people who stand up for the rights of all minorities, all individuals, to say what they feel, to say how they think, those are the kind of people I stand up for, but there are surprisingly few Canadians who are willing to actually say that. I like to think I'm one of the people that are saying that this is the kind of social system we should have.
Mark, thank you so much for your call.
Okay, Wayne.
We'll be back with more.